Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
All right, you're back.
Okay.
All good now.
Technical difficulties.
That's what happens. We understood we had some dead air.
The magic of live radio.
Well, we were talking, so we don't know what you missed. So we'll recap. This is the second hour of the Motormouth Radio live broadcast from Tobey Beach with Ray Guarino, Joe D, and DJ Chris Scholes on the board.
Behind the sky at our back.
And Jimmy behind us dealing with all those
and Lois.
Those technical things that go on. And I was saying, people can get in touch with us. The best way is come down to Tobey, find our tent, our WHPC tent. We have our Motormouth Radio banners out.
Just follow the smell of the food.
And say hello.
Yeah.
Or give us a call, 516-572-7440. Follow us on motormouthradio.com. Same address on Facebook and Twitter. And on Instagram is Joe's favorite.
Will_ Motormouth Radio.
Says that with such fervor and determination.
You can never find the damn thing.
Yes. Well, once you got it in your device,
yeah,
it'll find you.
Thank God for all
the I always wanted to ask you about your problems with the underscore, because underscore is one of those things, like, you know, you're a car techie.
Technophile, yeah.
Yeah. And the underscore is like one of those things that, you know, us hackers know how to use.
Yeah.
It comes back way when you couldn't use the space bar.
Right.
Now you can.
Okay.
But we still, every once in a while, everyone throws that underscore out there. So
I have two words for you. Fat finger.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, now the convention has become people using a dot. It'll be
right.
Motormouth dot radio, which, yeah, we didn't do when we set the account up. That didn't happen. So we got what we got, and we use it. And like,
yeah,
I said, once it's
5 minutes,
in
some other techie out there will come out with something else.
Yeah, once it's in your device, you know, it comes up in your feed, and you know what it is.
Yeah.
It's all over.
I just pushed the little icon. Now I'm good, so it's all right. So,
yeah, exactly. So, and that's where we post the stuff that we get involved with during the week at our respective, sometimes our respective day jobs, but mostly our other jobs where we go to the shops and garages around our respective locales. Between the two of us, we cover Nassau and Queens quite nicely.
Yes.
And we
swoop in.
And we post the pictures of the things we get involved in. When we actually have a free hand to take a picture,
right,
some of the stuff we get involved in.
That's the fun stuff.
Yeah, I mean, some
of the stuff I do, it's like, I can't hold the phone in my mouth.
Right.
So it's like, you know, unfortunately, we get to miss out. I've got to figure some way to strap the thing to my head. That's what's going to happen next.
Right.
You know?
Right. You know,
there's so many people milling around out there. I don't know if anybody's listening while they're still.
I saw a few people lathing, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, so we have everything going on. Maybe someone will drill.
Ah.
Food, Gary. Want to come on? Would you like to come on live with us?
No, I'm going to eat first.
Okay, then eat first. Gary Eichler, yeah. President of the GTO
Good choice.
Club. From Long Island, yes. No, oh, I wish I could, but now that kind of permutates. Yeah. You stuff one in the radiator neck of my car, maybe it might like it. But all right,
you got it.
So we get walk ups.
Yeah, you know, the last hour we just had Dr. Jeffrey O.
Yes,
the legendary Dr. Jeffrey O.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure there's other people out there that are listening. And if you're hearing us, by all means, please stop by. You know, just make fun of us. Like wave the food in front of us
so we can
smell it, you know.
Like I said, Bill Carberry from Kappa Radio in Farmingdale, he's going to come by after he has lunch. He'll stop by and talk with us. He's a regular guest. We have him in a couple times a year in the studio. So now we find him in the parking lots across this great island of ours.
Yep.
So we were saying in the first show, the first hour, Joe, that you got the Corvette cleared out. What's next on the plate for you at the UD or otherwise? What awaits you?
There's a couple things that we got cooking. We're going to see about putting that 56 sedan delivery back together.
That's
again.
The one I was waiting to hear about, right?
Yeah, that's a full hydraulic makeover. We already got the disc brakes hung and stuff, so now we got to run the hydraulic lines, which master cylinder, proportioning valve, all that good stuff. And we also noticed that the wiring looks like it was like a bunch of snakes on crack.
Right.
So,
now, the brake components, they were bought all from the same manufacturer as a kit?
Well, the stuff for the conversion, yes.
Okay.
However, the hydraulics, we went with basically Ford Granada.
Okay.
Ford Granada had some
very popular
from the 70s
conversion.
There. It was good size stuff, really usable.
A lot of guys used that as an upgrade to the early Mustangs.
Yes.
That gave them a different bigger rotor and a five lug pattern.
Which is kind of sort of what we got the idea from. Mm-hmm. And this particular one has a 460 in it, so
yeah, oofa.
Yeah, so basically there's no place to put a booster, so
yeah, so is that going to be a manual?
It's going to be manual
like,
discs.
Like my car, yeah.
Yeah, well actually, if you got the right amount of leverage on the pedal and enough swept area on the friction surfaces,
yeah.
You should be able to get the car to stop pretty darn good,
I've gotten used to it. I can't hear you. What was that? We are live on the air.
Yes, we are broadcasting. Yes. Hi there.
So Touring Cruise is checking in, saying hi to everybody out there. The what size rotors are on that car, Joe?
Those are 12s right now.
Okay, good. See, that's what I want to do on my car. I want to upgrade those 10.5-inch factory stock Chevy rotors to something larger, and I have a set at home. The question that I threw by you a while ago was, are the bearing sizes the same?
Right.
Because I think they're different. Really, and I keep telling myself, idiot, go out to the garage one day, jack the car up, pull
measure
the
mirror, them.
No, take the rotor off and see if the other one will go on.
Yeah.
But it goes
that's
to show
measuring
you.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You end up doing something else.
Some of that, too, is the intended use of the car.
Right.
The sedan delivery is going to be a cruiser. It's going to be take the kids out for ice cream, Park it in the... Parking at a cruise night, that kind of thing.
That's what I do with my car. It's
once in a while, but in between stops for the cruise, you get between the stops rather quickly, don't you?
Yes, I do sometimes, yes. And on-ramps and off-ramps are a favorite. Cloverleafs, I love. But, of course, when you're coming around, you want to be able to stop. But, again, it's always in the pursuit of better performance. And in this case, better performance means more braking.
Yes.
Besides
going, you got to stop.
That means a lot of different things. And most people, a lot of guys we know and have known through the years, it's always... And I look at some of these cars that come in and, car with a set of slicks on it and a blower through the hood or no hood and two carbs on a blower. And you're like, oh, my God, where's he go? Like, that car, it's literally like a race car in the street.
Yep.
And can you stop it? Occasionally you see the guy that has the laundry bag on the back and you say, yeah, he ain't going to throw that. But, that's the thing. If you really unleash the power of that car, like the one second gen we saw that has the blower on it, the orange one, are you really getting into that thing? Are you really going to tip into that thing? Or are you going to just, what are you going to do?
Sometimes it's for going, sometimes it's for showing.
Right, exactly.
It's a trailer queen,
I'd
rather be able to drive the car. I was always a big fan of being able to get in my car every day and go to work or whatever, if that's possible.
It's because we had to.
Yeah. These days it's a little tougher because, modern traffic is tough. There's just too many numbnuts out there that are not paying attention because they're texting or they're talking on their phone or they're yelling at their kids.
Right.
Or they're yelling at their whoever, and they're not watching what's in front of them.
Absolutely.
Next thing you know, something gets creased. So that's not fun.
We each of us have advised many people about building cars and older cars and hot rods. And we both follow the same kind of dictum. Safety first. You want to have it. You want to have some go fast stuff. You want the good stopping stuff. You want to make it look nice. Well, most people do. Myself not included. And we always kind of follow those things of make sure you got the electrical system nailed down. Either for some reason, we've talked about it all the time. many, many people shy away when it comes down to the electrical system.
Right.
And you don't have to understand really what's going on. You just have to have good working practices. And of course, with any system, hydraulic or electrical or other, if you don't, you know, tap out and get a friend if you don't know what you're doing. Or pay to have that job done. There's no shame in that.
Right. It's better than that because the top of my list is always safe. Next comes reliable, which is kind of sort of part of safety.
It is.
Because if you get stuck in like a dark or rainy road someplace and somebody rear-ends you because your lights are out.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's not very safe.
Yeah.
So you definitely got to have that safety and reliability are way at the top of the list.
You know, that reminds me of something I'm in the middle of right now. You know, in my car, I had the good people out at Radiance Electronics LED Lighting made me LED taillights.
Right.
Which small planes actually follow me at night and think it's a landing pattern because they're bright as hell. And I still did another one. I ran another wire and I ran a third brake light to go up in the back window just to be safe. But what I did is a few weeks ago, I refit the speakers. I put in that the panel that goes on the deck lid, the rear package shelf, rather.
Right.
And I have to remount that third brake light. And the third brake light I have is out of a Toyota, so it was, you know, it's not like, well, 65 Pontiacs didn't come with our brake lights.
So you have to put it in there sideways?
No, yeah, right. No, it's going to fit nice, but what I have to do now is figure out how to mount it. Something I never thought of before. I just used to shove it in the rear deck lid and, like, you know, it just kind of stayed there. But now right. I have to mount it, so I have to figure out, I have to make a couple of holes through that brand new panel.
Oof.
And that's why it's sitting on the floor behind the driver's seat right now, because I haven't, you know, like, you'll dive into a front end tear apart, you'll dive into an engine job, you dive into camshafts or heads or whatever, but it comes down to doing stuff that's finished that you're going to see, and now it's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's where I say, hey, wait a minute, I want
to
make sure.
Yeah, you cringe a little bit when you start having to make holes, brand new panels and stuff like that.
Exactly. We had a flyer passed to us.
Oh, cool.
What do we got here, Chris?
Well, a young woman. a young woman and a gentleman walked up, they said they are part of a rescue shelter that recently was evicted a few months ago, they were telling me. And they're actually putting on a fundraising car show.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure it might say that on the...
Well, let's see. It's Pets for Love, Evicted by Lesso Home. We're reaching out to everyone to help raise the necessary funds to purchase a new rescue and allow us to be able to continue our mission of rescuing and funding and finding homes for these deserved fur babies. They were in the Source Mall. Oh, I heard about this. Yes, this was in the news. The Source Mall right up by the college.
Yep.
For 5 years, it was purchased by Lesso of New York, a company from Hong Kong. And they go into the politics here a little bit. But they have a phone number, 516-832-8200. Kim, write that down, 516-832-8200. I'm sure Kim knows all about this. And you could donate or visit them on their they have a site, pets4luv.org. Same name on Facebook, pets4luv. Same on Insta. Well, on Instagram, it's pets4luv foundation. And they have their mission statement and all that stuff. And maybe hopefully somebody out there can help them out. So,
sir,
good. We're all pet people.
Cause, yeah.
We're all pet people. We have pets and
love our animals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I really like friend. That they don't talk.
Yeah, but they bark.
Yeah.
My cat can communicate. She does communicate with me quite nicely. Sometimes it's a little upsetting, but, you know, she gets her point across.
My girlfriend's cat, she just, her mom has a friend who moved to a new apartment that doesn't take pets. So she just had 4 cats delivered to her house. And I was hanging out at her house one day, and I just hear something very high-pitched go, hello, constantly. It was like, hello, hello, hello. And I'm like, I know that's not your brother, and I know that's not your other brother, and I know you don't have a little sister. So we go out, and we just see the cat, and it's just saying hello.
Really?
And I thought it was the craziest and the funniest thing in the world.
That's kind of cool.
I thought you were going to say it was a minor bird flew in or something, because minors, will, you know, they can speak. A couple of my friends have had birds, and my one buddy, Ray, I talked to him on the phone, and you hear the bird in the background. The bird mimics him and his wife, and you'll think it's his wife calling him. And I'm like, Ray, isn't that your wife? She's calling you? Like, no, it's the bird. I'm like, oh, man. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, animals are definitely good for the soul. You know what I mean? You can talk to them, and they don't talk back. That's why I really like it.
They're man's best friend.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Love hanging with my dog.
Walk him, feed him.
Yep.
Hey, it's Chuck.
Hey,
want to come on with us, Chuck?
Huh?
You want to come on with us? Come on live? We're broadcasting live.
I tried to hear you on the radio before.
Well, hold on. Where's that microphone?
Stuck in the traffic?
Come around that way, Chuck. So take this.
Yeah. I'm going to hear myself.
No, you won't hear yourself.
Huh?
You won't hear yourself because you don't have a headset, but...
What am I going to do?
We got Chuck with us. You know, Chuck was a caller on the show years ago. We had some regular calls from you when you were working on your Vega.
Yes.
That goes to your mouth. You gotta speak into that.
Yeah, I still have it. I did a bunch of new quarter panels to it. I just picked up a new hatch for it. I'm getting very close to painting it.
Joe, that was Chuck had called the show when Chris and I did it. Now, and one of the things, Chuck had a chassis. Was it an Alston chassis?
Chassis Engineering chassis.
And when I saw it many moons ago, it was in a garage at his a previous house, and it was in pieces. And Chuck built the jig. He was going to build this thing in his garage on a homemade chassis jig.
Right.
I love it.
Exactly,
and he did.
Right. Yep.
You know, talk about backyard engineering. That's
I never got the
best kind
chance to actually extend it forward by mating two front fenders together.
Yeah.
Try to make it look like an old AFX funny car.
Right.
that was my original plan for it. I have the body parts to it.
Right.
But it just didn't materialize. I got sidetracked with a bunch of other stuff.
Life.
I picked up a 67 RS Camaro.
Oh, nice.
Oof-a.
Matching numbers car. Air conditioned car.
Wow.
I'm taking that down completely apart.
Okay.
I picked up the same motor and tranny combination that's in our Impalas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I talked to a couple of guys. I found a guy in Florida who would build a wiring harness to mate that LT4 right to the 67 Camaro.
Beautiful.
I'm an electrician,
nice.
And I was a mechanic.
Right.
I wouldn't do it for the price he wanted.
Yeah,
for,
right?
So
I know.
I let him go have fun with it. Talked to Vintage Air because I was using the compressor from the same setup
that we have
on our Impalas.
Oh, okay. The Impalas.
So I told him what compressor I was using so they could make that up.
Right, right.
Then I found a guy in Georgia called Shipworks.
Uh-huh.
The car originally was a 2-speed glide.
Right.
So they'll sell you brackets, detents, cables, everything you need to take that Power Glide 4 shifter and turn it into the 4-speed overdrive.
Oh, wow.
With the bezel that goes in the console. So
nice.
It's a whole done deal.
Like
those are the three things.
Yeah.
I picked up a JL8 12-volt rear.
Oh, very nice.
Very rare and sought after.
Very rare.
Where'd you find that?
Yeah. Actually, it was by dumb luck, one of the guys in the power plant next to me, his uncle was a big Camaro guy. And the guy fell to a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
Very debilitating. And the guy had so many parts.
Yeah.
Went out and bought, I got a 4-bolt main block. I got a set of aluminum heads. I got this JL8 rear. I got a high ram TPIS fuel injection system.
Nice.
I spent $5,000 with the guy one Sunday afternoon.
Sure, sure.
You know, and my buddy Tom came out with me too, and he bought a bunch of stuff too.
Right.
A bunch of great rods and everything. But I got a bunch of stuff for the Camaro from, I don't know if you recall, Steve Wider from High Grade Auto Body in East Meadow.
I still remember the name, yeah.
Yeah. I got an original console for the Camaro with the gauges in it.
Oh, very
nice. From the factory. I got a few nice little pieces.
Cool.
So I have a drive line for it. Car is all steel. No plastic in the car whatsoever.
Very nice. What's your projected timeline on that car?
Well, it's going to speed up because I'm going to retire in 3 months.
Nice.
So
very good.
I'm looking forward to that, and I'll get some real time in with it rather than, you know, hour here, 2 hours there, Saturday afternoon, or whatever. But we're working on it.
That's great.
The Vega runs, mechanically, it's all set.
You know,
we've got the 5-speed in it, the narrow 12-volt. That's ready to go. So I'm doing small things in the back. I redid the fuel system. Going to do some new tailpipes.
Okay.
To make it fit, you know, and everything.
Right.
Everything, you got to build everything for that car. You can't.
Yeah.
Everything's fabricated.
Right.
But it's fun. You know, I'm having a good time with it.
That's
great. And I'm still interested. I figured I'd see you. I tried to hear you guys on the radio while I was waiting in the traffic to get in.
Yeah.
But it seems to be like frequencies were crossed. You kept going off to like two other radio stations.
Yeah, and what's down here by the beach, I have no idea.
Yeah, but there were three. One from New Jersey,
there's one
from New York City.
There's an AM station in Jersey that I actually listen to, and the closer I am to the shore, the better I get
it. Better you get.
So on Sunrise Highway, depending on what town I'm in, I get it and I lose it.
Spotty.
Carries across, yeah.
Yeah. It's over when you're on the North
yours.
Shore.
That's mine, yeah.
Oh, I wanted to see it. I never knew if he would...
It really does exist.
Yet.
Well, the hood is painted, and if you look, the underside of the deck lid is the same color. That's painted, but yeah, the rest of the car
is
not.
Is that the color you're going to use?
That's the color it's going to be. It's a 1978 anniversary color for Pontiac. It was only on the Trans Am and Grand Prix that year.
Okay. All right. So, I like it.
Yeah,
very
I
nice.
Like it, too.
And
like
the tri-power, you put tri-power on it,
nope.
Right?
Nope. I got dual quads on.
Dual quads.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to the GTO show and went down the line of the 64 to 7s.
Yeah,
and like,
remember that?
Everybody was tri-power.
Right.
And I have a tri-power that I want. I actually have two of them, but I said, you know what? I can't do it. I'm not going to. I can't do it. Everybody else has got it. So I said, let's go like the homage to the 421s.
Yep.
And we'll do 2 4 barrels.
Exactly.
Now I'm thinking about maybe switching over to two throttle bodies.
Uh-huh.
EFI. So we'll see.
Well, I have a high ram throttle body if you're interested.
For a Chevy, though.
Yes.
That's Pontiac.
All right. Well, the top end of work, it's a two-piece manifold.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you just have to convert that to a Pontiac if they make it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But it came from Holley, so it might be available.
Company is still very, very active and responsible
for sure.
In the hobby.
Right.
Yeah.
For sure.
Love that, too.
So,
doing a lot of stuff.
That's good. That's good. So I just got here. I'm trying to find someone with a Vega yet, and I haven't seen one yet.
The only Vega, so we saw a black Cosworth over that way.
Okay.
But it's an original car. It's not a hot rod. So.
Right. I've seen that. I ended up on this Vega Nation website.
Of course.
Of course I did. Yeah. Very informative, but a lot of fun.
Actually, I thought of you. A friend of mine has a, he works out at SK Speed now. And he picked up, he had a car that he ended up, he was going to street rod it, and he sold it, and then he ended up buying back, and it's for sale again. It's a 76 Pontiac Aster wagon.
Uh-huh.
And it's already set up for a V8. It's got disc brakes. It's already got the rear end in it.
Nice.
No powertrain. And I'm thinking.
Right, Sorolla.
Like, I was telling Joe about it. Like, you know, I got the big block sitting under the bench. I'm like,
they work in there. They actually fit in there. I did
a couple
of those when I worked for Motion.
I'm
so.
Like, oh, boy. I know. It's like, you know, I was... I try to stay away from the guy because I know that if I don't, I'm going to end up bringing it home.
You're going to end up owning it.
Oh,
I got plenty of parts if you need plenty of backup parts.
And the Aster's a little different because like a lot of people didn't even know they existed.
I got a set of headers for that. I got it from Stevie White or something else I got from him.
Okay.
So he bought a I think it might be 76 or 75 Pontiac Astra from some guy up in Canada.
Wow.
The car, Ray, you can eat off of the floor pans.
Wow, nice.
It's gorgeous, white and blue.
Yeah.
He put a Scott Shaparoff motor in it. And he never went drag racing. The guy's been in the body business for
a gazillion
years.
Right.
Never went down a drag strip.
Wow.
He bought this car, and now he's a drag racer.
Okay. Hey, good. Good.
Great guy.
Now, at our age, you want to see doctor's notes before we go make a burnout, right? Like, you fit
to
do this?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Let me see
your
the
heart good enough to
let
do
me
this?
See the paperwork.
Let me see the hand-eye coordination.
I want to talk to your cardiologist. Let's see. Yeah. How many fingers am I holding up?
Right.
Oh, God. Do you have to look forward to, Chris? Enjoy it while you got it, brother. Let me tell
you. That right.
I want to get a...
I can't wait to retire. That's my goal. I'm a grandfather. I got a lot going
on. Excellent. Yes, I know.
All right. I mean, I've expelled everything I wanted to say today.
Well, thanks for stopping in.
I mean,
it was great to...
really not true, and you know me.
No, I know. And it's great that I saw you at Willie Hassock's funeral. That was the last time I saw you at his wake.
Willie and I were
that was a
very
tough one.
Good friends for many
I was seeing
years,
him at Nassau Drive Shift like every week. We were hanging out, like in the, even through, especially through the winter, because he was just hanging out. We would sit and talk and just...
I met him when I worked for Motion when we used to run that 57 wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And we became friends right off the bat. You know,
Oh, yeah. How could you not with Willie? You're such a sweetheart. Yeah.
Oh, but the knowledge that guy possessed that, you know, it's gone. So, you know, you try to pick his brain. We always try to pick his brain and this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
But you'll never replace that.
No, and not at all.
That's just a shame. And there's a lot of guys like that that have passed on.
You're right.
Because those are the days where you had to build everything.
Yeah.
There was nothing you didn't go to the store and say, I want this.
Right.
And I'm going to bolt this into the car. Everything was, old fabrication,
trial
and error.
if it didn't break, you weren't going fast
enough. And, you know, and that's kind of what we try to carry on with Motormouth Radio. Joe and I, we try to carry on that spirit of, like, you know, building and wrenching mm-hmm. and fixing and fabricating. It doesn't have to work the first time, you know. You know, break it till it does, you know?
Right, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So, oh, you got to weld it again. Oh, gee, you know, it's like, okay.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, that's why when I got a Frankenstein part and see people say, you're going to change that? Like, no, why? I said, I earned that. You know what it took me to get that to that point? It's like, that's like five times of re-engineering.
Right, right,
like,
re-engineering.
It stays the way it is.
What did I do wrong? What did I miss? You know?
But it's up here. You learn.
It'll always be up there.
And that's why we like to share it. And so listen, don't be a stranger.
All right.
Give us a call any Sunday. You know, we're still on the air.
Good to see you, right?
And we'll get you into the studio when you're retired if you want. You come in.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
All right, Chuck.
All right, fellas.
Thanks, brother.
Nice to
good meeting you.
Okay.
All right, I guess it's time for a break here on Motormouth Radio. Greg Rorino, Joe D, we have Jim LaStella with us, and DJ Chris Scholes here on the board. Let's take a little bit of a break, and we'll come back and we'll talk some more after this on 90.3 WHPC. Yes, we came as we are. We're going to go as we went.
We're still here.
On Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, live today from Tobe Beach. Ray Guarino, Joe D, DJ Chris Scholes on the board. We got Jim hanging up behind us. Let's see. Liz is on the phone. Kim says we got a phone call. Liz.
Oh, really?
Hi.
Let's see if we can pick that. Oh, there it is. Hi, Liz. How are you?
Liz, what's up?
I am fine. Oh, my God. I'm so happy to talk to you. Just to let you know, I wanted to know until what time you are at Tobe Beach.
We're broadcasting live until
2 o'clock. Until 2 o'clock. Okay.
Right.
And how long is the show for?
Till the 3 o'clock show. They do the trophies. They start trophies at 3.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I just wanted to say hello and tell you that I am still driving Element Honda, 135,000 miles, and no problem.
Excellent. Great. Keep that. Keep it up and keep up your maintenance, Liz.
And I can tell you this car, you know, many people ask me to buy it, and I don't want to part with it. That's it.
Right.
Okay.
Don't blame you.
Good car. Keep it. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you coming down to the beach? Or are we going to see you?
Until what time the show, the car show is on?
The trophies are at 3 o'clock.
Oh. Well, I am in Valley Stream, so I don't know if I can do that. I did not know all about it. So,
okay.
what is the next show you are on?
Well, we'll be back live in the studio next week. And as far as the remote goes, we don't have anything on the schedule.
They haven't asked us back yet.
Yeah, we're going to go into the winter months, so there's really nothing going on through the winter. So,
Well,
we'll keep you until we'll let you know.
Okay. Thank you so much. You are the best.
Okay, Liz.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you, Liz.
Bye.
All right. Got into a little discussion with Chuck off air during the break. He was looking at some of the components of my car, and another guy walks up and starts asking questions like, I better look over and see if we're going back on the air.
Yeah, so I kind of saved you right there.
Yes, thank you. You know what? See, you said it's your show, I'm only the engineer. The engineer, without the engineer, there is no show. Let's get that straight. So.
Yeah.
You know, and I know, like, watch, you know, you always watch your wingman for cues, watch your engineer, too. So,
I'm thinking about getting a muscle car after I sell my my Explorer.
Well, you know, you'll get it as an addition, too. That's always a good idea because that could be the rock, the one that's, like, the good all-time, take it out in the rain, take it in the snow, the muscle car. You don't really want to take it out in the bad weather, necessarily.
Right.
But what would your car of choice be?
Car of choice? Well, I like something like your GTO, but I'd want a Camaro.
Okay.
I'm a huge Camaro fan. I probably want something like later or earlier. I mean,
okay,
like 70s,
80s. Joe and I, as you may not know,
that's our jam.
We're both past second gen owners. You know, the
70 to 81 is the second.
Yeah,
gen.
70 to 81
right.
went up, but we both had early. Second gen,
70 to 73.
I mean, I love the body style of the second generations the most.
Yeah, me too.
So if I find one,
definitely bring it to you guys.
Let us
know.
You guys could teach me a thing or two.
And I tell you, if you want to step into the modern age, you can go up to the fourth gens. You go into the digital, into the 90s even, which by now, that's 20 years old now, but still, those cars were all, fuel injected and yep. ABS and all of that stuff, and any of them are great drivers. Through the late 70s and 80s, the horsepower's down, they got choked with, emissions stuff, and they were... But I worked on one at the shop a month or so ago. It was a 78, I believe that car was.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And, so it had a 305 in it. It was an automatic. But when I got in and drove it and sat and looked at the steering wheel and the dash and that long hood, it was all good.
Brings you back.
I would cruise that car. I would definitely cruise that car.
Yeah, so, good driving cars, yep.
Now, of course, the problem with finding one of them is the Scarol. I mean, they're not cheap. And if you find something cheap, it's going to need three times the amount of body work. So the advice we give everybody, Jim, there's a guy leaning against your car. The advice we give everybody is find and pay the highest amount of money you possibly can for the best car you can find, because that's work you don't have to do later.
Yep.
And paint and body work are definitely two of the things. I would pay for a car that had paint and body work done before mechanical, because that's what I like to do. I'm not a body guy. But, it depends what your buy-in is. But you got a couple of guys in the family that are, and your girlfriend's dad, so you got a few men in the family that may be able to help you out.
Some connections there.
Yeah.
You got to pay for the parts.
Well, that's it. You got to pay to play.
Yeah, we know a guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come cheap. But the good thing is with a Camaro or any of the popular cars like the GTO Chevelles, the A-Bodies, the Olds, the Buicks, now... I mean, back in the day, back when I was driving this car every day, I had to go to a Pontiac dealership to try and find a piece of clutch linkage or a piece of... And by then, into the 80s, that stuff was already mostly gone. So you went without it. Now there's restoration companies and some really good restoration companies. You can buy stuff out of it.
You can buy pretty much anything you need.
What you do? Go online and just have them send you a couple different companies like Gear One, Ground Up. Who else is big for...
I was going to say Ames for Pontiac.
Well, Ames for Pontiac. I'm thinking Camaro. Just have them send you the catalog for the second gen Camaro and start leafing through it, and you'll see pretty much anything you want is in there. And then just for giggles, keep another list. Start writing down parts, and then you just like tally it up and see like in a half a page, you'd be surprised. But it is all there. It's all available.
Yeah, a few years back, you couldn't find anything.
Right.
But now, all kinds of obscure trim screws, clips, all kinds of stuff like that you would never even think about.
Right.
It's the kind of stuff that once you get into the meat of the project, you're gonna seriously want, So,
The other thing that they started doing, which they had never done, even when they did a lot of the hard parts, now they're coming out with consoles and dashes.
Yes.
Parts you
lots of trim, yeah.
I was working on a dash for Mike's Mustang. He's got a 69 Mach 1.
Right.
I took it all apart. I had to put a circuit board on the back. But while I had that, I said, let me split it. Let me take it apart, take the lenses out. We sent them down to have them polished because they were a little hazed. And I put it back together, but a couple of the screws on the bottom, as I'm putting the screw in, the plastic towel where the screw goes in was it was already cracked.
Yep.
And I said, now what do you do? I mean... I was thinking about dropping glue in there or epoxy, and I left it with him. And I said, I told Mike's son, I said, let your dad decide what he wants to do. This piece is probably available as a repro. It's the whole dash bezel. Now, I don't know what that would cost for a Mustang. There was a ton of them out there, and they're probably all cracked or worse. So
yeah,
it's probably worth the investment.
There are weak spots in these cars. Going back to that Corvette, one of the things they had when they had the control head out was there's this metal plate that positions the control head underneath the shifter plate, the trim plate.
Right.
Trim plate doesn't really do much.
Uh-huh.
Now, this thing was kind of flopping around, trying to get the screws to line up and all kinds of stuff like that. I was losing my mind. I kind of screwed this thing for quite a bit because I didn't want to just sit there and pop riveted or epoxy.
That's what you and Billy were talking about
in
the studio a couple weeks ago.
Thankfully, Billy G. Thank you.
Right.
Billy Velvet, if you're listening, you're my man. He gave me some tips about how to get that thing back together. And it also turns out that piece, if you wanted to do it the quote-unquote right way, it's available as part of the console. So,
actually,
no big deal.
If people want to hear about that, that was last week's show from the 15th. Go to motormouthradio.com. We have the show up on our website.
Yes.
You can listen to it or download it, and you can hear exactly what went on in the studio between Bill and Joe on that topic.
Or as we like to call it, evidence.
Yeah, right. Evidence is right. But that's the thing, Chris. You know, the parts are all available. But it raises an interesting question, and I spoke about this to someone the other day. In my own car, I chose to keep many of the original parts and refurbish or refit them as opposed to buying the same part in, you know, brand new. Like the door handles. Those are original door handles. I could have bought brand new ones that are beautiful. But, you know, I'm going to polish those up. I'd rather have it, my thought is I'd rather have the original part
right.
that maybe has a little bit of a blemish or it's not perfect.
Because
at the end of the day, that car could be 80 to 85% reproduction.
Right.
And then the question is it a real Pontiac GTO? Well, it is, but...
It's a philosophical question.
But, you know, I went there, and I go there a lot, and I say, how much of the car is actually original? You're calling it, you know, an original car, but it really isn't. It's a reproduction car.
Yeah.
Everybody has to have their own, you know, buy-in, if you will.
But what happens, too, though, is that, you know, some of the original stuff is great, you know, if you want to keep it as a quote-unquote museum piece, you know what I mean? But then again, like your car, I mean, it's more drivable, it's more fun, you know, okay. Doesn't look quite as good, but we have to, that's because you're not there yet.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I'm definitely a, a function over form guy.
Right, oh yeah, no, because I don't see you standing out there with a feather duster.
No.
At a car
no.
show. Screw that.
Unless you know a bird fell onto a stick I was holding. Then I'd have a feather duster. Otherwise, I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. No. But, you know, considering like how some of the those cars drove and went back in the day, you know, I mean, they didn't stop so good.
No.
They went really well.
Four-wheel drum brakes.
You know, but...
Skinny little bias ply tires.
Steering.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, your car is... way more safe.
Well, there you go. I got a piece of Jim's history in there that the steering box in that car is a GM part. It's out of an 86 Monte SS. Bolts right in. Three turns lock to lock.
See?
Piece of cake. All you had to do is I just needed a conversion fitting for the two lines because they're metric. Now,
right.
If I would have kept the metric power steering pump, I could have used the right lines.
Right.
But I decided to use the original pump, so I used the conversion fittings. And... there was not, no, the rear joint was the same, yeah. I had to use the original Pitman arm.
Yeah.
Because the angle is different on the G-body. But so there you go, taking something, again, out of a GM car that was newer and throwing it, and by looking at it, you'd never know by looking at it.
And, you know, that's the great thing about, particularly GM, is that there's a lot of interchangeability that we,
right.
Oh, Monte Carlo SS steering box or Firebird TA steering box, you know
right.
what I mean? Versus, you know, the sway bars from the different suspensions.
Sure.
You could pretty much build your
own. This is one of those things where the internet comes in handy. Because there are a lot of sites out there for just about any car you can think of. I spend so much time on sites looking for parts for my station wagon. There's 6, 7, 8 sites dedicated just to second generation Camaros.
Oh yeah,
and you can go first gen, second gen, third gen, fourth gen, fifth, sixth. I mean, there's even guys right now who are going in there restoring fifth gen cars, and they're not.
Wow,
restoring.
So I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there, and you go to these websites, and guys will tell you all the tiny little secrets you know about.
Right.
It took me a year to figure out this with the station wagon that this stupid little low oil level light would come on. And finally, I found out it's the Opti. It's like, wait, what? Come to find out, there is a glitch in OBD1 on those cars that when it loses what they call the high-res signal on an Opti Spark, you guys explain that before I will, and we turn on the low oil level light, stop, turn out that light, turn on the check engine light, and then say, okay, now... you know, figure out what it is.
Wow.
And if you turn the call off, turn it back on, it cleared everything, and you were going again.
But it gets your attention.
That's exactly what it is to do, is get your attention.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yes. All those engineers are sitting back there in Detroit Some hopefully are back in hell by now.
They went back to it.
Hey, well, you know, if we do this, we'll screw them up really good. Hey, let's try this. I bet you they'll never find this one.
Yeah, and fast forward to more modern cars, and I know that that's what they did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break.
Yes.
Let's reestablish. Chris, you got something queued up over there, something neat. And then we're going to come back maybe with Bill Carberry because he's walking by. And we'll speak with him in a few minutes as Chris finds something here with Ray, Joe, Chris, Jim on 90.3 WHPC. He's typing away furiously. I know. He gave me the, come on, keep talking signal. Yes. So I'll do that. I'll just keep talking as he types. I wish I could see what he's doing. He's trying to find something.
What we got to do is start hanging out a flag or something, you know?
I got something driving.
He's driving, got a driving stuff, song. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to hear that. There we go. We'll be back. Keep it where you got it. Back in black, back at the Tobey Beach Car Show. Ray and Joe with Jim and Chris at the Tobey Beach Extravaganza. We're wrapping down, but we have with us an old friend of our show who's been on many times, Mr. Bill Carberry from Kappa Radiator. Bill.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, what's happening?
And now we're
enjoying a beautiful day here, yeah. Huh?
It is absolutely phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah. Tell us a little bit, for the people who don't know, tell them what you do and where you do it and
Well, I'm whatever. Long known as Kappa Radiator, doing radiators, heater cores, air conditioning, and all that. But for the last 10 years, a lot of people aren't aware that we do a lot of classic car restoration work and repairs and upgrades.
Okay.
And a year ago, we just moved into a much bigger shop, so we're better equipped to handle that. And just about anything to do with an old car. It's easier to say what we don't do. We don't do interiors and we don't do body and paint work. But anything and everything else, we do it on old cars.
That's great.
And we still do new car work, too. We do inspections, regular everyday car work.
Okay.
But we love doing the old cars more.
Yeah, well,
they're more fun.
That's always been your mainstay. You know, we all came up the same way, and that was... Yeah, once you get your hands into the old stuff, I don't know, what's the right word? It endears you. It's just like it becomes part of your DNA after a while, you know?
You bleed on it a lot easier, too.
Our saying is we'd rather work on hot rods than Hyundais.
Right?
There you go.
Nothing against Hyundai owners, but
I love Sonatas.
We'd much rather work on the old stuff, the old American-made stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Way more personality, way more soul.
There's more passion behind it.
Yep.
Well, I've had the same two cars since I was in high school. I still got the first car I ever owned and the second car I ever owned. I still got them.
Nice.
And I can't get it out of my blood, that's for sure.
You know, that's the thing. Bill and I were in the same car club back in the 70s, Long Island Rod and Custom Club.
Okay.
And we both have the cars in the parking lot that we drove to the meets back then.
That's pretty cool.
And there they are. So, yeah, we're a couple of dinosaurs, I guess.
Were you guys part of car clubs when you guys were younger?
Yeah. Like I said, we were in the Long Island Rod and Custom, which the Long Island Chevy Owners Association renamed us the Long Island Rod and Rustum because every event we had at Eisenhower Park, it rained. But, you know, what the heck. We did it anyway. We were out there in the rain. So.
Then again, we drove our cars and enjoyed them.
Right. Exactly.
And still do.
Yep.
Hate that stuff. When the humidity's too high, you can't put the car out. No, screw that.
Yeah, I know.
Drive for real.
Personally, I'd rather have a less than perfect car that I can drive anywhere, anytime.
Exactly.
Than a showpiece.
You know, Bill, we were just talking about that, and people ask me, you know, when are you going to paint the car? And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. And I was talking about reproduction parts, and I was saying how I keep as much of the original parts, like the door handles. They're not perfect, but it's an original handle. At what point does a car stop being an original car and start becoming a restoration from a catalog car? You can't always tell by looking, but I say if it's all too shiny, a lot of that stuff is probably restoration. And so, I'd rather have the... we only got 4 minutes. We're wrapping down. I'd rather have that original stuff, but again, it's function over form for me, but not for everybody, and there's a place for everybody. You can certainly go to see Bill, a operator, and have some restoration work done, and they'll put whatever on your car you want to pay for. That's
yeah, and there's always many different ways to do something. It all depends on what your end game is, what you want at the end.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Do you want a showpiece, or do you want a driver, something you can have fun with? Do you plan on keeping the car for a long, long time, or you just, you know, you get tired after a year and you sell it and you get something else? So
a big problem is people don't know. They start working on a car, haven't worked on, and then they change the plan. They want to go somewhere else. And, you know, it's hard sometimes because it's not a linear progression a lot of times.
They lose heart sometimes, you know. They
Well, not only that, but like,
what am I doing here?
You know, now I want to go to the next level. But, you know, but I should have done the infrastructure when we had the body off, is when we should have done all these chassis mods to give you, let you have an 800 horsepower engine that now you want. You know, now we got to do the work twice, and the shop has to get paid for that. Let's face it. You know, you can do the work, it's all labor. But, yeah, so that's the thing. You know, having a plan, a lot of people don't have that clear aspect.
And you got to be adaptable, too, because plan A doesn't always work out that well.
That's right.
Definitely.
Or it may not work in putting the nuts and bolts together, or plan A may not work for you in 5 years when you have a kid or a grandkid you want to put in the back of the car. Then you got to go to plan B.
And you have a roll bar with a crossbar and you took the seat out,
yeah,
right?
Well,
and the tubs are taking up most of the back seat. Right. Now, can you put a back seat in now? Well, no.
Yeah.
Well, can you take the, you know, get another car.
And I know when I was a kid, I never thought I'd want or need air conditioning in my car, but
yeah.
These days on a hot cruise, I certainly use it.
It's an
essential. Went to Dead Man's Curve 2 weeks ago on Labor Day weekend, and I had that AC on. I can tell you that.
Oh, it was hot, yeah.
Absolutely.
I've heard the reports, yeah.
Well, I have the discussion with people all the time about aluminum versus copper, and I've taken your dictum. I said, look, I got a copper radiator that Bill rebuilt for me, and this thing works. It may be heavier, but you know what? Bigger tubes, more fins, better cooling. It's you know, and but everybody, like we were talking about before, about Chinese radiators, people buy them off the internet and whatever, and it's like, okay, you know, get those bolts, put never sees on the bolts because you may be taking them in and out a few times.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So, anyway, well, we are wrapping up the end of this second hour of our live broadcast from Tow Bay.
And, it's getting there.
Yeah, we're getting done. Bill, it's a pleasure having you sit with us, and, you know, over the winter, we usually get you in. We usually get you in for the guide dog cruise, but, you know, you're always welcome in the studio with us.
Yeah, let me know when you got an opening. I'll see if I can get in there.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get you back, and we'll talk some more, and we'll keep it going.
Enjoy the show, guys. Always nice chatting with you.
Thanks, Bill.
Man.
It's been a pleasure.
Appreciate it.
All right. Oh, good buddy, Bill Carberry from Kappa Radiator. You should go and check him out. And there's a link to Bill's site on our website. You can go to our links page and find Bill's information. His great article on aluminum versus
good
copper
information, yeah,
is up there as well. So we'd like to, you know, keep the good stuff up there for people to find.
So,
and yes, I got to get down to the shop myself.
We do got to get over there. Yep, for sure.
Go over there and have him crimp my AC lines. Yeah. So we're just about to wrap it, Chris, right?
Yes, sir.
We
all right.
Burned 2 hours.
We did. I'd like to thank my co-host, Joe D, DJ Chris Scholes on the board, and Kat over there behind him, Jim behind me,
and
keeping
Lois
things running. And Lois is behind me over there. Right. She's been very quiet, so I forgot she was there.
Jim has our back. Lois has his back.
We got
I try, guys.
We got outro music. We'll be back next week on Motor Mouth Radio.
WHPC.
You can listen to me on Thursdays.
Plug it. When are you in?
Thursdays, I do the Nassau Morning Madhouse 7 to 9. Mm-hmm. And then I do 1 to 3. I do the Nassau Mix and then the Rock Overdose.
Excellent.
So if you like hearing our voices, definitely tune in back to us. 90.3 WHPC.
Great. See ya.
Yeah. Bye.